חלק י"ד, פרשס כיסווי, שיחה א'. The first mitzvah mentioned in the Torah portion of Kisavai, when you will come, in other words, when the nation will come to the land, is the mitzvah of Bikurim, the bringing of the first of the orchard produce to the temple. This mitzvah applies to fruits and produce grown in the land of Israel, and only those fruits for which Israel is praised, wheat, barley, dates, figs, grapes, pomegranates, and olives. In the temple, the owner of the fruits recites words of thanksgiving to God, acknowledging Hashem's kindness, and presents the basket of produce to the Kohen. In Perek Chavov, Pasuk Hei, the Torah instructs us as to how and what the owner should say in presenting the fruit. He should raise his voice, the Pasuk says, and say, Arami Oved Avi. An Aramean was the destroyer of my forefather, a reference to Yaakov, our forefather, who lived with his father-in-law, Lavan Ha'arami, for 20 years, and then had to flee because Lavan intended to kill him. The Pasuk continues, Vayered Mitzrayma, and he went down to Egypt, Vayagarsham, and he lived there with his family, B'misei Ma'ot, only few in number, Vayehisham Lagoy Godol, and then in Egypt he became a mighty and numerous nation. V'yetzienu Hashem Mitzrayim b'yot chazaka, v'yavienu el ha'mokim hazeh. And Hashem took us out of Egypt with a strong arm and brought us to this place, here, to the land of Eretz Yisrael. So the owner who brings the Bikurim mentions two events, stating them to express praise and thanks to God for his kindnesses. One is Arami Oved Avi, an Aramean was the destroyer of my forefather. In other words, this is said to emphasize how Hashem saved Yaakov from utter decimation by the hand of Lavan. The second event is the descent of Yaakov's family into Egypt and the redemption from Egypt, culminating in their arrival in Eretz Yisrael, the land flowing with milk and honey, and ultimately expressing itself in the physical fruits, the Bikurim, brought before God. Rashi refers to these two events as Chastei HaMokim, Hashem's kindnesses. But why not mention all of Hashem's kindnesses? The crossing of the sea and the war with Amalek, and the kindnesses in the desert itself, the Mon and Miriam's well. These were very obvious miracles that step by step in the treacherous barren desert paved the way and created the possibility for the Jews to bring these very Bikurim. Why only mention these two events of Arami Oved Avi and descending into Egypt and the redemption? Perhaps we could say that these two are core miracles. The other subsequent miracles really all a combination of these core miracles. But then we would have to ask, what about the big core miracle which Yaakov himself prayed for, the event that took place between safely leaving Lavan and descending to Egypt, the miracle of God saving Yaakov and his family from Esav and his people? It seems like this question would be an obvious one for Rashi to ask in reading the words in the Pasuk. Yet Rashi doesn't pick up on this and address it at all, which tells us that this really isn't an essential or core question, and this is why. Potentially one could suggest that Esav didn't actually do anything bad to Yaakov, so even if he intended to, he never did. But you can then say Lavan also didn't really harm him. The difference between Lavan and Esav is that though Lavan also didn't actually harm Yaakov, his intention as a non-Jew, as an Arami, is considered by God like an action. His intention is considered like an action. Esav, however, who is described in the Gemara as a mumar, as a Jewish apostate, doesn't fall under the same category as a non-Jew who seeks to harm a Jew. So no harm and thus no foul, and not something to mention in thanking God for his kindnesses. The problem with this explanation is that the Torah text itself does not suggest anywhere that Esav was a Yisrael mumar. And furthermore, the forefathers in general are not considered Jews, as a Jew was considered with all the applicable laws after Matan Torah. Which takes us to the next point. If we would say, so no harm, no foul regarding Esav, and then thanks expressed when bringing Bikurim are about the kindnesses God showed to our forefathers, from actual danger to their very lives, the fact is that Lavan never ultimately harmed Yaakov either. And if we're saying he never harmed him, but he's a non-Jew, and it's considered as an evil act if there was only a thought, the consideration and punishment for the evil is on the one who had the thought, on Lavan. Bringing Yaakov's name into this by saying Arami Eved Avi, Avi being Yaakov, becomes inaccurate. If it's just a thought, then the onus of evil is on Lavan, and it's really not about Yaakov. And if it's about an action, in other words, a thought bringing to action, then he didn't actually harm him. So we're back to square one. If it's about mentioning the kindnesses of God, because all the calculations we just made about Lavan versus Esav, etc., don't work, why indeed isn't God saving Yaakov from Esav mentioned as one of God's kindnesses? The Rebbe explains as follows. The mitzvah of Bikurim is relevant only once we inhabit and settle the land, as Rashi explains it. In other words, it's an expression of thanks for God bringing us into the land and for the ability to settle this land of milk and honey. For the goodness of this experience, as it's expressed in bringing the fruits of the land's produce to the Beis HaMikdash. For this kindness, the owner who brings the Bikurim, the owner of the fruit, mentions specifically times when we lived in a place where we suffered, where no good came our way. Not when we wandered, but when we dwelled somewhere and that dwelling wasn't a blessing. The two places mentioned are Aram and Mitzrayim, for those were indeed such experiences. Yaakov lived in Aram for 20 years, and for over 200 years we sojourned in Egypt. These were two places where we lived, and our lives were actually in danger, and Hashem in his kindness saved our nation and brought us to a place filled with divine blessing. Looking at this idea through the Hasidic lens, the Rebbe explains the following. The Tzemach Tzedek in Or HaTorah explains this regarding the bringing of Bikurim. The fruit of the tree is the experience of the soul as it's enclosed in a body. The mitzvah of Bikurim connects and binds the lower level of soul to its supernal source above. This source is called Bikurim Ha'elyonim, supernal beginnings. So there are two experiences in Bikurim, bringing the Bikurim and an elevation an offering from below to above, and reading about the Bikurim, which is the drawing down of godliness through the words of God from above, as God descended onto Sinai, bringing his word below, spiritually bringing the supernal beginning to its soul below, and thus allowing the soul enclosed in the body to experience the light of the soul on high. The Hasidic explanation, thus, for why we particularly mention these two events, Lavan and Mitzrayim, is that both of these events were bookended, the descent into and the departing from, by a flow of chesed, kindness from above to below. Yaakov was drawn from Be'er Sheva, a place of intense godliness, to enter into Haran, a lowly place, and in leaving there, the Torah says, Vayashkem Lavan Baboiker, which Hasidus explains to mean the loiven, the whiteness that rises in the morning, a reference to the light of chesed, of kindness. So Vayashkem Lavan Baboiker is understood in Chassidus to be a reference to the light of chesed, of kindness that is drawn into the world every day with what we perceive as morning light as it overwhelms the darkness of the night. And this very light Yaakov took with him as he journeyed. The same dynamic exists with Yaakov's descent into Egypt, where even before he physically arrives there, he sends Yehuda to set up a study center to continue the focus on the divine. And of course, when Yaakov's descendants left Egypt, they did so on the kind, outstretched arm of God himself, not an angel, but Hashem in his glory redeemed them. Accordingly, we can understand Rashi's intention when he says the Pasuk tells us that the owner of the Bikurim mentions Chasdei HaMokim, as Rashi explains it, the kindnesses from God, versus Nisei HaMokim, miracles from God, as well as why Rashi uses the term Chasdei HaMokim, Mokim meaning place, as a reference to God and not Chasdei Hashem. The reading of the Bikurim is an experience of drawing chesed, divine kindness, into the reality of a place, particularly. Being saved from Lavan was being saved from a particular and specific place, as was leaving Mitzrayim, leaving Egypt. And this happened through divine chasadim, being drawn down into those places as mentioned. The Rebbe concludes with a lesson in man's daily service of God. This is the aspect of service which is about our connection. There is the aspect of service which is about our connection via elevating ourselves in prayer and Torah study. And yet, says the Rebbe, this is not enough. Man must also draw godliness down into the physical, corporeal things he is involved in on a daily basis, until those very things are transformed to good and to literal holiness. This would be similar, says the Rebbe, to the idea of bringing the first fruits, the most beautiful fruits, the most pleasant and good fruits, man's daily activities which he involves himself in at a level of the ordinary, but that these are the important things in his life. These things must be transformed to good and to holiness. For in this way, man concludes the purpose of the creation of the world, making for God a dira, a dwelling place, betachtainim, in this lowly world.